Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Sunday, second class, July 23, 2023, Romans.
Yes, I do. I say Merry Christmas everywhere I go, every day, 365 days a year. And Deb and I have certain restaurants we like to go to. We went out with Don and Sue here, and everybody there, now they come up to me and say Merry Christmas in July, when it's 116 or 17. But why do I say Merry Christmas? Because that's what God, His plan for you is so awesome. His plan for you is so great that He wants you to have Christmas every single day. No matter what's going on in the world, no matter what's going on in America, no matter what's going on in Nevada, Las Vegas, God wants you to have Christmas every single day. His plan is so phenomenal. And as you grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, it'll be reality in your own life. And for many of the people in this congregation, they enjoy Christmas every single day. And it's awesome. It's fantastic. And I hope all of you will grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, have virtue, love brought to completion in your heart. I hope you all get to that point of love for God the Father, which motivates impersonal love for all and occupation with Jesus Christ. And the other side of the coin of that is sharing the happiness of God. Sharing the happiness of God every single day. You will have Christmas every day. How great is that? How much is that worth? Well, it's priceless. As we get ready for part two, a few moments of silent prayer. Father, we thank You, sir, for Your infinite and Your matchless grace. And we thank You, Heavenly Father, that You have magnified Your Word over all of Your name. And therefore, the Word of God is more important than the very air that we breathe. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship in the Word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. All right, we are studying categorically. We studied exegetically Romans 6, 1 through 5, the great paragraph on the baptism of the Spirit. Now we're studying categorically the doctrine. This great doctrine in the Word of God of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And we are at point three. Point three. The baptism of the Holy Spirit creates the royal family of God. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ had a new title. After He won the strategic victory on the cross, after He solved the world problem of sin, His resurrection, ascension, and session. He was seated at the right hand of the Father, and He had a new title. Lord of all lords, King of all kings. And now we, at the moment of faith in Christ, are entered into union with the King of all kings and Lord of all lords. In the Old Testament times, they placed their faith in Christ, and they had regeneration. They were family of God. And that was great. But we are living in the church age. We believe in Christ, and we're entered into union with the King of all kings and Lord of all lords. Positional sanctification, union with Christ. And that makes us royal family of God. So the baptism of the Holy Spirit creates the royal family of God. Your royalty. So a couple of things underneath that. One, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is the means of providing a royal family for our Lord's third royal title, King of all kings, Lord of all lords. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is the means of providing a royal family for our Lord's third royal title, King of all kings and Lord of all lords. Subpoint two, through the baptism of the Spirit, the church age believer is entered into union with the King of all kings and Lord of all lords. We are royal family of God, and therefore we are spiritual aristocracy. Spiritual aristocracy. And here is the principle. To whom much is given, much is required. Much has been given to us as royal family of God. And to whom much is given, much is required. Point four. The analogy of the head and the body. Jesus Christ is the head. We are his body. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5. The analogy of the head and the body. Now we're going to be seeing this taught in a passage on the divine institution of marriage. Now it's not my objective to teach on marriage, but there will be some principles that will come out of this as well. Now, for you men that sitting next to your wives, no elbows. Wives sitting next to your husbands, no punching the husband. We're really looking at Christ, the head, and the church as his body. Ephesians 5, verse 22. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. Now the word there is a military word. Hupotasso. H-U-P-O-T-A-S-S, long O. Hupotasso. It means to be subordinate. Maybe, was he looking for this gal? Okay. Wives, hupotasso to your husband. Be subordinate to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now, as the church, hupotassos, subordinates itself to Christ, so also wives should hupotassos subordinate to their husbands in one or two things. Now, just seeing if you're following along. In everything. Who put that in there? God did. In everything. Now that's the wives. Now that I'm going to talk about the husbands for a minute, because the husbands have very, very, very impossible command apart from the grace and power of God. By the grace and power of God, it's a slam dunk. Without the grace and power of God, you'll never be able to do it. husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. What does that mean? When the Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross, all the sins of the world were gathered up by God the Father, poured out on Christ, and judged in the Lord Jesus Christ once and for all. The Lord Jesus Christ willingly went to the cross. The Lord Jesus Christ willingly received the sins of the whole world. The Lord Jesus Christ willingly received the judgment for those sins. And that was his impersonal love for all mankind. In other words, Jesus Christ was loving us when we were at our worst, when we were spiritually dead, when we were totally depraved. He loved us when we were at our worst. That was impersonal love for all. That's the command given to you husbands. Husbands, love your wives with impersonal love for all, just as Christ loved the church with impersonal love for all and gave himself up for her when we were at our worst. Now, that is impossible for you to do apart from the grace and the power of God, apart from the filling of the Spirit, because the fruit of the Spirit is love. Virtue, love. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, fidelity, tolerance, self-control. You have to be living the spiritual life by the power of the Spirit of God. The spiritual life is a supernatural way of life. It demands supernatural power for its execution. That supernatural power is God the Holy Spirit. That's why we're given the command, Ephesians 5:18. Keep on being filled or empowered by the Spirit. Galatians 5:16. Walk by means of the Spirit, and you will not carry out the lust pattern of the sin nature. Husbands, love your wives with impersonal love for all, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Now turn over to Ephesians 5, verse 30. Ephesians 5, verse 30. For we are members of his body. Jesus Christ is the head, we are his body. We are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two shall become one. And that, what is that an illustration of? This is a profound mystery, but I am talking about the Christ, Jesus Christ, and the church. For at the moment of your faith in Christ, you're entered into union with Christ, and you're one in union with Jesus Christ. So the analogy of the head and the body. A couple of subpoints. One, the head is incomplete without the body. The head is incomplete without the body. And the body has many different parts. There are fingers and hands, and there are ears and nose, and there's toes and a lot of different parts. And those different parts represent the different spiritual gifts in the body. So the head is incomplete without the body. Subpoint two, the humanity of Christ is incomplete without a royal family for him. The humanity of Christ is incomplete without a royal family for him. 3, this analogy teaches that the church universal, the body, cannot be a living organism without the head, Jesus Christ. This analogy teaches that the church, the body, cannot be a living organism without the head, the Lord Jesus Christ. Subpoint 4, God the Father appointed Jesus Christ as the head of the body. So here we are, through the baptism of the Spirit, we are entered into union with Christ. And the royal family in union with Christ is called the body of Christ. The royal family on earth is called the church or the body of Christ. The royal family in heaven, in eternity, is called the bride of Christ. So we're the body of Christ while we're here on earth. We are the bride of Christ in heaven. In fact, when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back, and He is coming back, He's coming back at the second advent. When He comes back at the second advent and establishes His kingdom on earth, we come back with Him as His bride. His bride. We come back as the bride of Christ. And what is the millennial kingdom? A 1,000-year wedding celebration. 1,000-year wedding celebration. Now, you guys are wusses on your wedding celebration. When Christ comes back, 1,000-year wedding celebration. And by the way, some of you are wondering, will there be any wine there? Hell yes, there's going to be wine there. What did the Lord do? He turned the water into what? Not grape juice. Turned the water into wine. And it was the best wine anybody ever, ever had. So, not the stuff that Tim Vanslow drinks over here. The best ever. But a 1,000-year wedding celebration, the millennial reign of Christ on the earth. Point 5. So point 4, the analogy of the head and the body. Point 5. The characteristics of the baptism of the Spirit. The characteristics of the baptism of the Spirit. First of all, it is not an experience. It's not an experience. It is not an emotional activity. It has nothing to do with ecstatics. It is not speaking in tongues, and I talked about that before. It is not related to human feeling. So it's not an experience. 2, it is not progressive. What does that mean? It can't improve. It cannot be improved. It won't be improved in time. It won't be improved in eternity. Our union with Jesus Christ is perfect at the moment of salvation, faith in Jesus Christ. So it's not progressive. It cannot be improved. It's perfect at the moment of salvation. So point 3, it's not related to sin. Now remember, I showed you this one here. Let's see if we got it. I still got it there. There it is. Sanctification made up of 3 parts. Positional sanctification, salvation, were taken by God the Holy Spirit and identified with Jesus Christ in His resurrection, ascension, and session at the right hand of the Father. That has absolutely nothing to do with sin. That's salvation. Ultimate sanctification, that's receiving a resurrection body and living in that resurrection body with God forever and ever and ever, had nothing to do with sin. Now, experiential sanctification, that's a little bit different. Experiential sanctification is that point where now you have a choice whether you live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills and grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, or whether you make bad decisions to live in Satan's cosmic system. The only way experiential sanctification is accomplished is by living the spiritual life of the church age by the grace and power of God, and growing up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. So it's not related to sin. Subpoint four, it's not related to any human merit or ability or works. It's not related to any human merit, ability, or works. There is nothing you can do by way of works to have the baptism of the Spirit. It's the result of salvation, faith in Christ. So it's not related to any human merit, ability, or works. There's nothing you can do by way of works to receive the baptism of the Spirit. Subpoint five, it's obtained at the moment of faith in Jesus Christ. Faith alone, in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. It is not a post-salvation experience. It's not the second blessing, so-called, by the charismatic crowd. I feel sorry for those people. They're only looking for the second one. I'm looking for about the 3,000th one. God has given us so many fantastic blessings. And I feel sorry for those who are just looking for number two. So it's not a post-salvation experience. Union with Christ is completed, a completed ministry by God the Holy Spirit, and hence it cannot be reversed by any human failure. Subpoint six, it is eternal and unchangeable in nature. Eternal and unchangeable in nature. It cannot be canceled or changed by God or angels or man. It is a part of your eternal security. No renunciation, no sin, human good or evil, no moral or immoral degeneracy can ever cancel the ministry of God the Holy Spirit. So it is eternal and unchangeable in nature. So point seven, it is known and understood only through the God-breathed scriptures, the Word of God. The Word of God is absolute truth. And the only way you're ever going to learn about this fantastic doctrine is the Word of God. And specifically, a certain portion of the God-breathed scriptures, and that is called in the Greek musterion. M-U-S-T, long E-R-I-O-N, musterion. Now it's transliterated mystery. It refers to church age truth. Truth for this dispensation. It wasn't known. It's a mystery in that nobody knew about it in the Old Testament time. They didn't know about it. It was revealed to the apostles who wrote the New Testament scriptures, and the apostle Paul wrote most of them, and he presented in the church age truth, truth for this dispensation, which is called musterion. So it's known and understood only through the absolute truth of the Word of God, and specifically the musterion, the church age truth of this dispensation, the church age. And therefore, it cannot be applied if you don't know about it. And you know, it's really sad today. It's just, we got a lot of Christians in America. The problem isn't that there aren't very many Christians. There are lots of Christians. It's just that very few of them know the Word of God. They're saved. They're going to be in heaven. They're going to live with God forever. But sadly, they don't know the God-breathed scriptures. And as a result, they're ignorant. They're ignorant about dispensational truth. And that's, what is that? What is dispensational truth? It's the divine viewpoint of history. God has revealed, all you got to do is study the Bible. If you study the Bible, you wind up being dispensational. Why? It's the divine viewpoint of history. He's laid it all out. God has laid it all out in His Word. And we're living in the dispensation of the church age. Began at Pentecost, concludes with the rapture. After the rapture occurs, then what do we have? The tribulation. 7-year tribulation. And then that's when the Antichrist will come on the scene, the false prophet. And the last 3.5 years is the great tribulation. And the Antichrist will go into the Holy of Holies and he will declare himself to be God and demand that the world worship him as God. And if you don't worship him as God, you will be martyred. Beheaded, he even says. At the end of the tribulation period, what happens? Jesus Christ comes back to the earth. He comes back to the earth, first of all, in great military glory. The greatest soldier of all time is the Lord Jesus Christ. He will come back with great military glory. And all of the nations, the king of the north today would be Russia, the kings of the east today would be communist China, pan-Arabic bloc, kings of the south, revived Roman Empire and the Antichrist. They will all be assembled in the Valley of Megiddo. You know it as Armageddon. And the Lord Jesus Christ will come back as the greatest soldier of all time in military glory. And they will go to war with Christ. Guess how long that war is going to take? The Bible says he simply speaks from the word of his mouth. That's Joel, the word of his mouth. Is it for me?
I was trying to turn off my Apple Watch.
If it's for me, tell him Pastor Olson says hi. He will come back in judgment, and then he will rescue the remnant of believers and usher them into the 1,000-year millennial kingdom. And the Lord Jesus Christ will rule planet Earth for 1,000 years. Now listen, in perfect environment. And global warming didn't destroy the planet. Climate change did not destroy the planet. Perfect environment. Perfect water, perfect air, perfect food. There will be no wars. The Prince of Peace is ruling planet Earth. There will be no wars. There will be no Army, Navy, Marine Corps. There will be perfect world peace. There will be perfect government. Jesus Christ will rule planet Earth with absolute righteousness and perfect justice. There will be perfect prosperity. There will be perfect health. All of that in that millennial reign of Christ on the earth. Where do you get that? That is just the divine viewpoint of history. God has given us the divine viewpoint of history. That's dispensational truth. So, the baptism of the Spirit is known and understood only through the God-breathed scriptures. And that means you find a sound Bible teaching church and assemble yourselves with humility and positive volition and grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. And learn this mysterion. Learn this church age truth. Well, that brings us to point 6. Of the doctrine of the baptism of the Spirit. And that's where we're going to start next Sunday. Point 6, the mechanics of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. All right, with our heads bowed. Heavenly Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. Thank you for the privilege of fellowshipping with you and your word. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name, amen.